Hello. Hey. How you doing? It's 8:15, and traditionally that's when we start the open mic and get things going. At the beginning, what we always like to do is see if there's any community announcements, if there's any sort of events or going on that you would like to promote, either something you're officially involved with or something you just think is cool that you want people to be aware of. Please feel free to come up here and promote it. And I know there's one already, so please, here she goes, Melissa.
Show and Tell Gallery. Some of you were at the earlier event, so next week at 7 o'clock, we always have something fun going on before we start the open mic at 8. And next week is going to be Let's Play. We do that on the second Monday of the month. It's a lot of fun. I bring some kind of script to read, and we all sit in a circle and we choose parts. You know, someone says, okay, I want to be so-and-so, and you know, and we just read to each other. It's not a performance. We just read out loud. It's kind of like a Stitch and Bitch, only it's plays. And so next month we're going to be reading Midsummer Night's Dream, you know, have a seasonal play by Mr. William Shakespeare. And we're not going to read the whole play, but we're going to read excerpts of it. And we might try to sit outside. It'll be a nice night. So all you have to do is bring yourself, and I'll have copies of the play. That's next Monday at 7.
Hi, I'm Patrick Bocard. I'm podcasting tonight, but my main announcement is that I sometimes host Talking Earth, and I on KABU FM 90.7 on your FM dial at 10 p.m. on Mondays. So next Monday, I'm having Ross Robbins on, who's read here before. He was a feature about a week to 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be a really good show. He has two other guests that I need to post on Facebook. But yeah, it's going to be a really good show. It can be run for an hour from 10 to 11 p.m. next Monday night after this open mic is over. So I just wanted to tell everyone about that.
All right, is that it? I think that's it. That's it. Okay. So here's a tip for everybody here. If you ever want to sign up for an open mic and you're one of the first ones to sign up and you don't want to go first, so you don't sign up on don't ever sign up on number two. Okay, because the list will fill up behind you and nobody's going to want to be number one, so you're going to end up having to be the one to go first anyway. Sign up for number three. Somebody will take two hoping for number one, and then you can do that. So just a little advice for the future. So unfortunately, that's the case here today. So we have Mr. Matthew Hartman is number two, and he will be the first one going up. But here's what we have to do first, and he wants to set up, so please come on up and set up while you're setting up. We have some rules and stuff we have to go over here, and I want to get that out of the way. So the first thing we have to remind you is that you have 7 minutes, and at the end of the 7 minutes, I will stop you. And that is in order to make sure we have time for everybody else. We have an almost full list, and we can probably get away with going over a little bit. But I think just in case there's some latecomers, we should all try to stick to the 7-minute list. Let's see, what else? You will be podcast, and if you don't want to be podcast, please come up to me at some point and let me know you do not want to be podcast, or come up and put by your name you don't want to be podcast, and we will not podcast. Otherwise, you will be podcast, and you'll be podcast at showandtellgallery.org in about 3 weeks when they get everything all done and set up. Just a minute here, just give me a sec. Let's see, what else? Oh, don't be rude. People are up here performing. Don't interrupt. Don't think. If you have a cell phone, may I ask in here, I will lead by example because I did not do it. Turn off your cell phone or turn it into a quiet place so that it will not disrupt in the middle, especially on stage. That happens here actually more than you would expect. Let's see. What else am I forgetting here, Melissa?
We don't censor content.
Oh, yeah. We don't censor content, so you can say whatever you want, whenever you want, and all that. It doesn't matter. But there may be moral ramifications afterwards. Just know that. I think that's it. I got everything. So let's be respectful. Start with number one, number two.
How's everyone doing? All right. So I guess it is a lesson learned because this is my first open mic night. So good lesson to learn on the first night. I actually, this song that I'm about to play, it's one of my own. It's called Heart and Mind. It's really a song about, you know, being anxious and being letting your mind kind of take over from what your heart wants to do. Because really, I was like fighting myself all day. Like, I'm too nervous to come to this. What are people gonna think, you know? It's like my dream. I don't want to get crushed on the first night, you know. So, but you know, then it's just kind of like letting your heart take over, not letting your mind, you know. So, hope you guys like this. Make a fence at the borderline of my heart and my mind. They don't seem to see eye to eye, 'cause the mind wants the power of the heart. I walk around with the normal wants, love and a place to belong. But I'm self-conscious of what I have to lose, and my mind sings the notes of sad songs. And I won't shelter from the lies that no one ever told me. Can you give me some peace in this world of many voices? Not even drugs could wake me from this comatose of my doubts in my mind. Worries galore all the time. I find myself just laying in bed, thinking and predicting my own worth. No idea what I want today. No idea what I want. The days are long and the hours are tired when you battle with your demons every night. You hide to hide from your worst foreign foe, but you still have to deal with yourself. And I won't shelter from the lies that no one ever told me. Can you give me some peace in this world of many voices? Not even drugs could wake me from this comatose of my doubts in my mind. Worries galore all the time. I've been attacked by my mind for so long that I just want to lay down my arms. Won't someone please come and save me from myself? And I want shelter. And I want peace. There's no drug, there's no drug that could wake me up today. And I won't shelter from the lies that no one ever told me. Can you give me some peace in this world of many voices? Not even drugs could wake me from this comatose of my doubts in my mind. Worries galore all the time. you guys.
So I appreciate this. Awesome. Okay. There we go. I'm going to read you some poems. This is called Valparaiso. Walk the lemon-scented streets by the sea, the spirit slowly ascending creaky stairs named for saints and beggars, whose eyes reflect what the waves whisper to the hills they ride, saying over and again a silent rosary, the beads kept in their mouths. Remind each other to thick Neruda, lamb and pine cone, salt, mangoes in cream, every mast in the harbor a tale to tell the wind. Come to find the spirit always lurking upon some other hill. Receive sun, lemons as small as pearls, silvered fish wrapped in newspapers yelling awful and beautiful things. Walk for days, words for a map. Exhaust every port and alley. Wait 4 hours in a bar for the night bus north to Atacama, the desert and its wind, glass worn down to its smallest self. Seek the spirit there. Far from water and gulls, persistent waving, the soft murmur of the sea and the hill it slowly swallows. It's like a million times hotter up here, by the way. Right? Yeah. Okay. I don't know what 7 minutes is, so like, I figured you were.
But,
okay. This is Life of Bees. This is the new one. I haven't read it before out loud, except to myself. Life of Bees. The life of bees poured out and out from one empty-headed bear into its clear twin. The pair balanced precarious atop each other. At an empty diner booth, I ponder the kiss of brotherhood, while the slow descent of amber pools like afternoon thunderclouds, smeared in the canebrake, ready to spill a singular light across the linoleum tables and parquet floors, the color of an abandoned hive tucked in the eaves. Strips of pale glue paper hung in the kitchen, the ears of Indian corn we braided together on the back step. The front door jars loose in wind carrying flaxseed and the damp smell of clove rushing in with a honeyed jingle that makes the bears nearly topple, tossing light from tiny plastic snouts, yet somehow they stay coupled, standing, draining the last of their heavy sweetness one into the other. This is tonight's sad poem. It's sad. Trestle. We don't know from rage, only post holes shoulder wide, fence wire unspooling down I-90, drainage ditch running brown, skull stained lower lips. Shuck corn beans, later shirts at the slough, us boys with our daddy hands already swollen, slap back roughhousing, girl hips hitched up, watch us not watching. Mooning, ice house, cigarettes stolen out of the drawer. Be sure to stay upriver above the sour eddy, the hole, dark shoal of tailings, snags, sunken junk, where Brother Quinn came down a year ago, June, harvest high, one last late night tightroping the trestle with old Tom, tippling, singing, don't you know a ditch is just a grave with the ends kicked out? Don't you know dirt measures our steps? Midnight train came to right the balance. Sad, sad Quinny, red-faced clown. Face down. Don't mean to, but do. Shake the jar of lightning bugs so hard, the inside glows.
Three minutes. Oh, I got short poems.
All right. We'll do a super short one.
But I want you to promote your open mic. Where do you do it at?
It's Open Space Cafe, 20th and Holgate, last Wednesday of the month. We need more people to come rock the mic, because otherwise it's just me and Vahid back there. And Chuck.
Eight, right?
What?
Eight.
It starts at 7 to 9.
Seven.
Last Wednesday of the month. Okay. Crap, now I only have a minute. So I'll sweep it. This is called Minor Abuses. The bag of ice torn at the corner spills onto your sandaled feet when you open the freezer door left there by someone like you in a hurry to cool down a feverish infant, maybe, or soothe their mother-in-law being eaten away by cancer and the fear of cancer, talking nonstop about this blessed heat, and so then rushing, just as you are now, or were, after a day of minor abuses at the office. Late for your best friend's brother's wake, recently dead from something that defies particulars, heights or drugs or plain bad luck, maybe. Just some ice, she said, when you called, a gesture you'd not thought through and now regret, it being so hot and you without a cooler and the church or house or park or big empty field all the way on the other side of town, and now the clerk hollering you to close the door, sir, while you just stand and stare at the floor covered in frozen glittering bits, melting into something else. Something you used to know the name of, but suddenly can't recall for the life of you, and all the while, your toes are slowly going numb. Thanks. Open mic, open space cafe, 28th and Holgate, Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the month, which I don't know what the date of that is for July, but it's 20-something, 7 to 9 p.m. There's a Facebook page. Okay. Thank you.
Hi. I am not as tall as Graham. That's okay, I'm just gonna leave it be. My name is Chuck. I'm just gonna start. This is a poem called How You'll Know You're There. Watch the sea change colors as currents draw to Taormina cliffs, pale green, white to cobalt blue, and how even under November thunderstorm, the waters at the shore are calm. Stand on the vacant night streets that wind like vines through this ancient village and imagine leaping over the railings to free fall down the rocky hillside, hoping for water. When you reach Centro Città, the nameless urge to jump will have vanished, and while you'll remember the image of the water, the rocks, the air, you won't even know what made you think to leap in the first place. It will remind you of photographs you snapped from station wagon windows as a child, cruising through Appalachian valleys with vertigo and popping ears, and how the prints, months later, were always disappointing. This is from a sequence, this is from a sonnet sequence that I work on periodically and have been working on periodically for like 9 years and didn't finish. There are things I like in it, and this is one of them. It's called Where We Are, Where We Are Not. Fluorescent bulbs flicker in the storm, and the windows will not lock. Fluorescent bulbs flicker in the storm, and the damp scent of the dumpster below smokes the room sour. Fluorescent bulbs flicker, and the room is like anxiety, like a dust devil, a flag in the breeze. The windows, their locks snagged loosely on screws like tent spikes rising in rain-soaked earth. The bulbs, a Morse code of buzzing and light, a blinking dog dreaming a field of squirrels, a ship sinking one sputter drop at a time. The flickering, the bulbs, the windows that won't lock. And somewhere warm, somewhere far, miles of grassland, miles of corn. So someone directly across from me, way in the back, they read something about CPR and drowning, and I have some poems that do that, and I thought, oh, I'll pull one of those out today because everyone's thinking about it now. Thanks. This one doesn't have a title because it's in a manuscript, and they don't have titles in there. When I published it, it was under a terrible title because that's what I've been doing lately, lousy titles. So I'm not going to tell you what the title was. I'll just start it. And by the way, fun fact about drowning, by the way. I learned this when I was researching this stuff. For years I thought drowning was water in the lungs, and that you got full of water, I guess, because I'm an idiot, I don't know. Apparently it's not, it's when water penetrates the larynx, and you start to choke on it, and if you can't cough it out, you go into shock and your lungs stop moving. You can drown in an inch of water. And like when you swallow something down the wrong pipe, that's the first step of drowning, which is fascinating and totally terrifying. I hope you all sleep well tonight. So this, after I heard that fact, I was like, holy shit, I should do something with that. So this is what that was. Fill the body with water, with river. Move closer. Not the body as mystery, as cage of breath wrapped in vinyl and rubber bands. Not the imagined body, but open the lips. Fill the mouth. Move closer. The nostrils, burning passage behind the throat. Fill them with river. The tissued valve of epiglottis, tendriled bronchial branches hungrily open. Flood them. Overwhelm till capillaries collapse like straws, and then release, gaping as tunnels channeling rainwater beneath the city. Move closer. Enter the larynx, where the voice begins. Flood it. Muffle the voice. The vibration of sound, the rumble before words. Muffle it with river, with silt. Where there is no voice, the body says, drown. This is where the shock sets in. This is where the panic begins. Fill the voice with river and wait. It won't take much, then it will take everything. Right. This is the last one, which has nothing to do with drowning. This is called, I don't have the title on the top here. Let me tell you a true story. That's what it was called. Yes. So let me tell you a true story. Katie and I slouch on benches, groping for words across a stone picnic table in a park at the center of town. You know, you're not alone, she murmurs, pressing her palms to the walls of her waxboard coffee cup. Her green eyes are distant and silvery in the early evening, the sun already set, but not yet dark enough for stars. She is so close, it's all I can do not to touch her. This is how you make a true story, how you lean into it, how you stare into its eyes. Because I haven't seen her since that night, she is still there, leaning over that slab of tabletop concrete, breathing deep, eyes trailing to the orange street lamp behind me. It's good to see you, she's saying, but I wish you hadn't come. It's not enough just to want, to believe. So you recount the night twice, three times, four, five. You stay up till dawn, spiraling into it, into the order, the significance of every word. Always use the same construction, the same phrases. Place blame in the same soft crevices between words. Render it meaningless by obsessing, like saying your own name aloud over and over until it is nonsense rhythm and hardly seems to have a thing to do with you at all. Here's a true story. Two brothers sit at a diner, 4 a.m., the air full of fry smoke and ammonia. We all suffer the same, disappear into the table, the bench, the forgettable secret. In real time, nothing is metaphor, and nothing is resolved. The sky outside is unimportant. I'm so tired of how this feels, says the first. I still don't know what you mean, says the second. The gravelly surface of the granite tabletop. It's like that, like the still frame behind just closed eyes, a reflection, a shred of sound stuck on the tip of the tongue, like permanence, but not. Let me tell you a true story. She said a lot of things that night, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Thanks.
Reading this last name, but I hope I'm reading it right because it's a cool name. Number 5, Alex Dang.
Hi, my name's Alex Dang, and I'm going to be doing some poems at your face. This first one is called Cor Cordis Coetica, which according to Yahoo Answers means the heart of the heart of the poem in Latin. In a turn of extremely predictable events, my heart has been kicking my ass. And so far the score is about me, 3, heart, 1,047. Though I'm already pretty used to losing, I decided to, in order to level the playing field, one must get to know thy enemy. So I cut open my chest, reached in, pulled my heart out, and started to examine the little fucker. It turns out the heart is roughly the size of a fist, constantly beating its way out of my chest, throwing right hooks and left jabs furiously whenever he's less than 5 feet away from a pretty girl. He's always looking for that knockout punch. I heard that if you control your breathing, you can slow down the rate of movement, and as I did, the heart became slow enough to unfold and dissect its anatomy. The heart has three layers. The outer layer, the epicardium, had chunks of shrapnel words wedged in tight, removing statements from elementary school bullies, racist dumbasses, and haters, etc. Foes who aimed well but couldn't pierce deep enough, the epicardium serves as a protective layer. With hands more lasers than digit, I separated the sentences still dripping with malice and then revealed the middle layer, the myocardium, which is essentially all cardiac muscle. Evolution has made it so our hearts are extremely resistant to fatigue. I guess after years of rejection, science finally gave us a break. The firmness I felt revealed why my heart has been so fucking strong lately. This dude could seriously wreck me in a wrestling match, which he has. Several times. I finally got to the innermost tissue, the endocardium, hoping to find what has been ailing me for so long. The heart is comprised of four chambers, each chamber having its own season. One chamber had flower petals snowing down, landing on the face of a soft-jawed boy who was quietly reading in the shade. Another had a dock. Two people swinging lazy legs in silent waters as fireworks noisily made a barrier for them to hide their kissing behind. The other was the boy again, this time looking a little firmer, both stronger and weaker, hands sturdy with scars and bandages, standing against the base of the tree watching leaves fall, trying to comprehend change. It was winter in the final one. A cold sheet of white and the boy standing stock photo still, making the blank around him lively. He's holding a box of matches. And I know what he's thinking. How much does he have to burn to keep him warm enough to get to the spring? I wanted to wrap my heart around in a straitjacket to subdue my opponent so it wouldn't interfere with my life any longer, to grab a sledgehammer and just smash it with hands possessed by a vindictive divorcee. What I craved was to replace this organ with a stone. But the heart is movement. The heart is a muscle that gets stronger, that is built not only to withstand the harsh elements, but to thrive in them. And good thing I remembered too, because it looks like the snow is finally melting. This will be my last poem, and this one is a loud me shouting poem, and I just recently got it memorized, so let's have some fun with this. The Sporadic Manual on Being a Total Disaster by Alex Dang. Introduction. Welcome to the wonderful world of fucking around and getting down on yourself because you are a detonation waiting to happen, but also realizing that you're a goddamn superhero because look at you, sexy piece of ass, brain, lips, shit. You picked up this piece of literature because you seek guidance on how to solidify your makeshift, constantly changing makeshift cardboard duct tape staples, and that's a piece of gum to hold that chunk of your love life and your personality together. Too bad. Part one. Never let go of things. Your love broke up with you? Remember. Your mom made a snarky remark at you? Remember. Your order of root beer became Dr. Pepper? You bet your sweet ass you remember. Hold on to these little memories with the fervor of an arm wrestling champion. Grip these things in a vice because they are so minuscule that if you let go for 1 second, you'll forget it immediately. And we don't want that now, do we? Section three. Romanticize, but never do anything about it. She's pretty. Fall in love with her, but then complain about how no one notices you when you don't do a damn thing. If it's meant to be, everything will fall into place with ease. If it's true love, the universe will want you to have it. Read closely. They said that things that are worth having are difficult to achieve. They are wrong and stupid. Once again, if the universe wants you to have it, it will leave sign after sign for you. Painfully obvious signs. You'll know it when you see them. Chapter 7, High Expectations. Treat expectations like job hunting. higher. Hold them to a warped pedestal along with Seth and Summer, Ross and Rachel, and everything you wanted her to say, but just expected her to magically know. Everyone around you are mind readers and are exceptionally good at reading body language. That means when they don't notice that you are feeling sad or lonely or doubtful, you are not worth it. Because if you are, your savior will show up at your doorstep, text you, message you, call you, but only if it's that really hot savior that you're attracted to. And of course, it will be raining when they're in front of your doorstep. The more unrealistic and scripted life is, the better. Expect the worst, expect the best. Is there a word for thinking that you are the absolute cutest, but also knowing that you're despicable and incapable of human emotion? Keep thinking about all the things that you would do differently if you were given the chance, but ignore the chances you did receive when you didn't do jack shit. Blame yourself, blame other people, blame your parents, blame yourself, praise yourself, praise yourself, blame yourself. Skip to the end, skip to the end, skip to the end, the end. You've made it. And the final thing to do is to self-destruct, self-destruct, self-destruct. Collapse upon yourself, you house of dying stars. Turn your bones into sharpening stones for them to edge their talons upon. Everyone is against you. Everyone treats you as the C-list. Everyone hates the way you choose to be. You hate the way you choose to be. You hate you. I hate me. I hate myself. I hate my self-destruct, 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 self-destruct. Addendum. Rise from the ashes. Thanks.
Songs. They're here. We'll bring it out for you, you know. I caught upon a dream. shudder. I have seen this movie's end. One long dream where the monkeys took my brother.
Seven, and I'm afraid I can't pronounce the first name. I can't read it. Last name is Brown. First name ends with the letters ID, but I think it's V-A-N-I-D?
Vahid.
I'm sorry, what was it?
V-A-H-I-D.
V-A-H-I-D. Vahid. Vahid, okay. Vahid Brown, number seven.
Thank you.
It is a little bit warmer up here. Yeah. It's cooling down though. Okay, I just have two short fragments of longer pieces. Doesn't have a title. For sooth's sake, what realty is sworn in upon this inundé, twined, overhung by coppers in the voicemail missiles, all begotten for this dreamagogue, betwixt which the emperor summons aircraft carrier pigeons, their mistletoes clenching predatorily, reaperish, rape seedlings for presumably militant maiden vines. Prismatic sandmen of Google plexified troglobites, 100,000 see or seen robot eyeball flies, them a swarm to scape the purloined land dreams. Well, forgive and forget secret emperor, calendars, Tuesday tailings from the pixelated drone mines. The crowd source is brackish, the market's bull. Prophet-sized logo armies storm the trees of their ties. A rough beast slouches, is televised. This is called Crossing the Revelations of John, and it's part of a larger project called Crossing Mogilek. This is the, what I'm going to read here is the first six chapters of the Book of Revelations in the King James translation. Most of the text crossed out, and what's left is this in this order in the text. So this is Crossing the Revelations of John. One. Come to pass his bare record. Unto you come of the earth, washed in clouds, pierced and ending. I write in the midst of the sound of many waters, seven stars in my right hand. Two. The angel canst not bear to remember, but the place hath an ear that dwelleth hidden in white stone. A name written like the last not known depths none already keepeth. Iron vessels broken to shivers. The morning star hath an ear. Three. These things are dead, watchful, remain perfect. In Philadelphia is an open door, and no man can shut it. The city, a hot nothing, an open door. Four. The first voice I heard was lightnings and thunderings, voices burning like a sea of glass, like beasts full of night forever. And they are. Five. I saw a book no man able to open and wept, the book a slain tongue, and the sea saying all that are heard forever. Six. thunder, a red and black beast, and I heard a voice kill with hunger, a loud voice for a little season, the moon untimely as a scroll out of place. Thanks.
Number 8, the poetically indomitable Mr. Rose Brock Russ.